that everyone is doing well. Hopefully you can see us on our various platforms, both here on brsonline.org/global and on Facebook and on Zoom, wherever platform you are on with us. It is so wonderful to be able to learn together here this morning. As you know, those who've been joining the classes all week, this is a special week here at BRS. It is our BRS Plus Global Campaign, where we are asking those who are non-members of Boca Raton Synagogue to step forward and to show their gratitude, show their appreciation for all the Torah that's being taught, both, again, on a virtual level. We spoke about a lot last night in Behind the Bima. In fact, my mom wanted to know how I'm awake this morning. She said Behind the Bima went until after 11 o'clock last night. Almost unheard of, but we had a good time doing it. And one of the things we spoke about was the notion of expressing gratitude, the notion that like Safaria and like so many other venues and platforms that we're so used to just taking from, so it's important to have the opportunity to give back. And one of the things that we here at BRS are so proud of is that very early on in the pandemic, when shuls were shut down, we figured out a way to pivot very quickly to an online forum, virtual forum, doing things again before many others were doing it. And thank God we've had an enormous response. The numbers are really astounding and somewhat mind-boggling to think about. And so we want to give people the opportunity to express that gratitude, to express that appreciation to BRS. So if you've been joining the Tehillim class and you're not a BRS member, the Friday class, the articles, Rabbi Goldberg's classes, Rabbi Shabtai's classes. So this week is the opportunity to be able to express and to show that appreciation. And again, we thank everyone in advance, no matter how little, no matter how much, we truly appreciate your support to enable us to continue to do this. Again, as Rabbi Goldberg said last night, our members pay our salary, thank God. And now we're giving other people the opportunity to allow us to expand what we have to offer and to spread Torah, which is really what this is all about. Okay, we are continuing in our study of Tehillim. Last week we started Hallel, chapter 113. This week we start chapter 114. Now the truth is I had a little bit of a conundrum. Maybe some of you will look at this chapter of Tehillim and feel the conundrum that I felt. But the conundrum that I felt was specifically that many commentaries point out that chapter 114 and 115 in all likelihood are interconnected. In fact, some of the earlier manuscripts that they found about Tehillim, the Aleppo Codex, I believe, they all list 114 and 115 as combined, but we're going to study them separately, and maybe next week we'll try to link the two and understand better why it is that there were those who wanted to combine them. So again, we're studying chapter 114 of Tehillim, a chapter that's going to be very famous and very familiar to many of us, which I always argue makes my job a little bit harder, makes my job a little bit more difficult, because we have to find new and creative ways to understand this chapter of Tehillim, something that you and I are so familiar with. So let's jump right in. And again, the words are going to be very familiar to us. Betzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'am Loez. So again, automatically off the bat, you'll notice that there is a specific historical event that we are commemorating here with this chapter of Tehillim, and that's, again, leaving Mitzrayim. Now, we'll see it's not just going to be leaving Mitzrayim. It's going to be other moments in Jewish history as well. But let's just take a second before we even get into it to describe the structure of this chapter of Tehillim. This chapter of Tehillim is broken down primarily into four parts. You have Psukim 1 through 2, which describes the Jewish people's leaving exile. You have 3 through 4, which is the notion of the creations of the world are in fear of God's presence. 5 and 6 are a question, why are they in fear of God's presence? And 7 through 8 is because of Hashem, right, the God of Yaakov. Now, what's interesting is, and again, I don't have a great explanation for this, but Hashem's name only appears at the end of this chapter of Tehillim. If anyone has a good pshat in that, if anyone has a good understanding of that, I would welcome it. I'm not fully sure in understanding why it is that Hashem only makes that appearance at the end. And even there, he's only referred to as Elokei Yaakov. He's not referred to as specifically Hashem, Elokeinu, like in other words that we would generally, normally associate with Hashem. But those are the four sections. You'll notice that each section, it's very symmetrical and almost poetic in its design. You have two psukim in each section, and each pasuk, if you'll notice, has a very common balance to each pasuk. Okay, there's like a one side and another side, and it's very clear what those two sides are going to be. So, Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Beit Yaakov Me'am Loez. Now, again, many of you have been studying Tehillim with us for over a year, and therefore you will know very quickly that what do I love more than anything in Tehillim? It's words that we think mean the same thing until we realize that no, there's no way they mean the same thing. So here we have two words for the Jewish people. Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Beis Yaakov Me'am Loez, the house of Yaakov from Me'am Loez, a foreign tongue. Okay, so again, we have to figure out what all this is talking about. What are we describing here? Now, in general, classic in the Torah, Yisrael and Yaakov are used in different ways. Of course, Yaakov is the name that he's given when he's born. Yisrael is the name when he's given when he is fighting with the angel of Esav. And so classically, the commentaries explain that Yisrael is the name for us when we are proud Jews, when we are distinct, and when we are different. Yaakov is the name for us when we care about what other people think about us, when we are more concerned about the nations of the world. And so Betzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Yisrael refers to one form of the relationship of the Jewish people to the nations around us. Beis Yaakov Me'am Loez. And then there's Yaakov, where we care about what other people think of us. So there we left Me'am Loez. So again, Me'am Loez means they speak a different language. In other words, it's a society that has a different set of values. So what the Pasuk is telling us is not only did we leave Egypt geographically, physically, but we also left Me'am Loez. We left a society that had different values. We left a foreign society. We left a society that tried to indoctrinate us with a different set of values and with a different set of morals. Rav Hirsch drives this point home when Rav Hirsch says that actually, this is the only instance in Tanakh where we find the term la'az or lo'ez. Now, again, those who study Chumash in Rashi will know, or Gemara, for example, that Rashi oftentimes will say, belashon laz. Right? When Rashi translates a word into French, for example, he'll say, belashon laz. It's a foreign language. So says Rav Hirsch, this is the only time that that terminology of laz appears anywhere in Tanakh. In rabbinic terminology, any Hebraic tongue, any non-Hebraic tongue, is called laaz. And loez denotes a person who speaks an alien language. In rabbinic literature, laz means to ridicule, to make fun of. Hence, am loez may mean either the nation that speaks an alien tongue, in other words, God extracted us from a nation that spoke a different language from us, and of course, language here doesn't just mean they spoke Egyptian when we spoke Hebrew, or they spoke Spanish when we spoke English, right? Language here means that they spoke differently. They had a different way of conducting themselves. They had a different way of speaking. Hence, or the nation that which ridicules Jewish ethics and the Jewish way of life. In other words, it doesn't just mean that they were foreign to us, but it means that they mocked us. They made fun of us. They made sense of our values, and they made sense of our sense of ethics. At any rate, says Rav Hirsch, it designates the contrast of the Egyptians in both culture and spirit to the family of Jacob. Me'am Loez, again, says Rav Hirsch, means that Hashem didn't just extract us geographically from Egypt, but he had to take us out of the mindset, the environment, the culture of Egypt. And therefore, he says, the thought of the first verse is, our fathers had passed the supreme test. That is, they were able to go forth from Mitzrayim as Yisrael, right? We left Mitzrayim as proud Jews, and they left Am Loez as Beit Yaakov. Even though they had dwelt in a state that worshipped only the power of nature and men, right? We've discussed this many times in the past. What was Egyptian culture defined by? It was defined by power. Power in human beings. It was defined by power of nature, the Nile River, Li Ye'ori V'ani Asitini, right, that the Nile belongs to me. They had lost nothing of their own concept of God, which taught them to render homage to his dominion alone. And despite the fact that the Jewish people were steeped in Egyptian culture, despite the fact that they were there for 200 years plus, nonetheless, they never lost their distinctiveness. They never lost what made them separate and different. Moreover, though they had lived among people who had been alien to them both spiritually and morally, they had still retained their own moral family purity, even though politically speaking they had been entirely absorbed into the state and into its population. Says Rav Hirsch, what makes this pasuk so beautifully? Bitzeis Yisrael mimitzrayim, Beis Yaakov me'am lo'ez, that extracted the children of Yaakov from me'am lo'ez, from a nation that spoke differently, a nation that mocked our distinctiveness. Now, you and I both know that this is the history of the Jewish people. The history of the Jewish people is that we've been in foreign lands, that we've always been different and distinct, and we've always been mocked as a result. We've always been made fun of as a result of our separateness. Now, this separateness has come up at various points in history. For example, the Napoleon's times, right? The Napoleonic Sanhedrin. What was at the crux of it? What was at the root of it? Napoleon was bothered by that sense of Jewish distinctiveness. How could you be different? He wanted to know, where were our allegiances? Ultimately, were we Jews or were we Frenchmen? Okay? Egypt wanted to subsume us under the culture, the values, the morals of Egypt. And what made us unique, what made us so special, says Hashem, is that despite all of that, we maintained that sense of distinctiveness. Bitzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Hashem extracted us geographically, but Beis Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez, He also took us out from that culture. He took us out from a society whose values were different than what ours were. This, of course, drives home the Medrash. When the Medrash says, "Bitzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim," Amar Avelezer Akafar Bezchus Arba Dvarim Yatzu Yisrael Mimitzrayim, that in the merit of four things the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Sheloshina es Shmam, they didn't change their names. Veloshina es Lashonam, they didn't change their language. Velo Ayu Prutzim Be'arayos, they didn't give in to the licentious behavior of Egypt. Velo Gilu Misutarin, and they didn't reveal the hidden secrets, which were so hidden, I'm not even going to tell you about it this morning. Right? But what was one of those four? One of those four was Loshina es Lashonam, that we maintained that sense of distinctiveness the entire time that we were in Egypt, the entire time that we were in Mitzrayim. The Malbim points this out a little bit differently. The Malbim has a slightly different take of it, and says the Malbim that Beit Yaakov is Mora al Hahamon, that whereas Yisrael refers to us as elevated people, Beis Yaakov is the regular, everyday person. V'zeh havdel min Yisrael shmura al anshei mala, Beis Yaakov ha'amonim yatsu me'am lo'ez. Right? In other words, for those who easily maintain their distinctiveness, says the Malbim, Hashem just took them out of Egypt. It was an easy extraction. But Beis Yaakov, says the Malbim, are the hamonim. In other words, the hamonam, the regular people, they were yatsu me'am lo'ez. Ki hayu me'uravim imahem, because there were Jews that didn't maintain that distinctiveness as carefully. And they were assimilated into Egyptian culture. And even those people, says the Malbim, V'yatsu rak me'eretz Yitzrayim, Hashem was able to take them out of Mitzrayim as well. So says the Malbim, we're talking about here two different types of Jews. Right? There was the Israel, there were the Jews that dutifully maintained that sense of distinctiveness, and there was the Beis Yaakov, there was the regular people who weren't as careful, they had assimilated themselves, and yet, even they, Hashem was able to take them out of Mitzrayim. I was thinking differently, and again, I know I'm throwing a lot at you in the first pasuk, but as I always say, I throw a lot at you, choose one that speaks to you, allow it to resonate, allow it to seep into your consciousness, that when you're saying Hallel tomorrow, you're going to say Hallel tomorrow, and you say Hallel tomorrow, you'll have a new appreciation for this pasuk and for this chapter of Tehillim. I was thinking a little bit differently, right? Bitzeis Yisrael mimitzrayim. That when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim automatically connotes a certain historical event. The Jewish people were in Mitzrayim. Me'am lo'ez, from a nation that speaks differently, that could be Mitzrayim, that could be Spain, that could be Italy, that could be France, that could be any number of cultures that we, the Jewish people, have been steeped in and assimilated into along the way. And so perhaps the two parts of the pasuk says, this isn't distinctive to one moment in time. It wasn't just in Egypt where we faced the test of assimilation, but rather me'am lo'ez, any time that we have ever felt ourselves in a foreign country, subsumed by a former culture, threatened by assimilation. So we have to remember that Hashem is going to extract us from that. That Hashem believes in our ability to maintain that sense of distinctiveness. I'll share with you one more measure. The Alkut Shimoni says, "B'seis Yisrael Mitzrayim." What does it mean, Yaakov? Why Beis Yaakov? What's the difference here? Says the Medrash, Amar Natal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Raglav Shel Yaakov V'hemidu Al Hayam. That Hashem tells Yaakov, he goes to Gan Eden, and he says, hey, psst, Yaakov, come with me. I want to take you on a little road trip. And they go to the sea. Amar Le Ra Nisim Sha'ani Ose Levanecha. Hashem says, look at the miracles that I am performing on behalf of your children. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha Amar Afra Gleim Sha'avos Amdu Al Hayam, right, that he didn't just take Yaakov, but he took all of the Avos, and he says, see the miracles that I'm performing on behalf of the Jewish people. So I saw that Medrash, and I thought to myself something beautiful. If you remember, when I was talking to my son about this the other day, why do we whisper, Baruch Shem Kvo Ma'achu Soli Olam Vayed? Right, we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kvo Ma'achu Soli Olam Vayed. So you and I know the answer to that. Gemara says that when the 12 Shvatim are sitting around Yaakov's bed, Yaakov's about to pass away, and he's nervous because he knows that Avram had a Yishmael, and he knows that Yitzchak had an Esav, and he's wondering, which one of my children is going to go off the derech? Which one of my children is going to start a nation that's going to threaten and persecute the Jewish people in perpetuity? And so he's worried maybe one of his children isn't going to maintain the fidelity to Torah mitzvos. So the Jewish people, the 12 Shvatim, say, Shema Yisrael, listen Yaakov. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. No, we're one, we're all together. We believe in Hashem and we're going to, again, maintain that fidelity to His laws. And when Yaakov Avinu hears that, he says, Baruch Shem Kvo Ma'achu Soli Olam Vayed, which is a nice way of saying, Baruch Hashem, right? Thank God all my children are going to follow in my ways. Now, of course, that doesn't appear in the Torah. So because it doesn't appear in the Torah, we whisper it. Because we don't want to put it on the level of something that Moshe Rabbeinu received from Har Sinai. Right? But what was Yaakov's concern? Yaakov's concern was, are my children going to recognize God in this world? Are my children going to continue to fulfill that mission and the mandate that they are placed in this world to fulfill? And so perhaps that's what Beis Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez. Right? Yaakov was worried that when they went down to Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people were going to completely assimilate. Right? That's the as Yaakov's on his way down, he stops off for the night, and Hashem says, don't be afraid going down to Mitzrayim. Right? We never saw that Yaakov was afraid. No, Yaakov was afraid. He was afraid of assimilation. He was afraid about the consequences and the repercussions of the Jewish people living in Mitzrayim for so long. And so perhaps what the Yalkut Shimoni is driving at is that at Kriyas Yamsuf, as Hashem is about to split the sea, He says, Beis Yaakov, Yaakov, you were so worried about assimilation. You were so worried about the Jewish people assimilating into Egyptian society. No, no, Me'am Lo'ez, I extracted them from assimilation. I extracted them from Am Lo'ez. I want to thank Mike and Rissy Hirsch, good friends from Boston, for their very generous donation, for all the wonderful shirim, which have enriched our lives, especially during the pandemic. We are so grateful to putting Hashem, for Hashem putting both of you in our lives, for the kindness of their wonderful mother, Essie Barry, a dear friend of ours as well. Thank you, Mike and Rissy. Again, anyone who wants to show their appreciation, again, non-members, brsonline.org/global. We appreciate anything and we appreciate everything. That's Pasuk Aleph. I think that might be a record for us. The longest we've spent on one Pasuk in our studying, but I think it's a really beautiful Pasuk. I think it's jam-packed. And I think those words, Me'am Lo'ez, is so significant for who we are and what we represent and what Yetzias Mitzrayim was about. Pasuk Bet, Haisa Yehuda Lekadsho, right? Because we left Mitzrayim now, Haisa Yehuda, that Yehuda is Lekadsho. Yehuda is what we're meant to be, which is Kodesh. We're meant to be sanctified and holy, Yisrael, Mam Shelosav. And what are the Jewish people? They are Mam Shelosav. We are God's dominion. So what are we talking about here? Again, anyone who studies with me knows, we have Yehuda, and we have Yisrael. Why is Yehuda making a cameo appearance here? What does he have to do for here? So one thing you'll notice immediately is a pivot from Har Sinai to a different moment in history, right? And I'll read you the pasuk, or I'll tell you the pasuk, and you'll immediately say, that sounds very similar to Pasuk Bet here. And that pasuk is Ve'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. Mamleches kohanim, goy kadosh. Right? This, says some of the Mefarshim, we're now pivoting to Har Sinai. We've gone from Kriyas Yamsuf to now Har Sinai. Now, what's different between these two sides of the phrase? Haita Yehuda l'kadsho, the Jewish people are Kodesh, and they're Mamshalosav, they are God's dominion. So the Mefarshim explain that l'kadsho means that we are spiritually distinct. We are Kodesh. I have news for you. Kodesh does not mean holy. That is a misnomer. Kodesh means to be separate and distinct. When we say Kadosh, 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 God is Kodesh, we don't mean that God is holy. We mean that God is so infinite. God is so above and beyond anything you and I can ever comprehend. He is Kodesh. He is separate and distinct from us. That no matter how elevated you and I can become as human beings, at the end of the day, God is God and we are finite human beings. Right? So God is Kodesh. Yehuda l'kadsho means that we maintain that spiritual distinctiveness. What's Mamshalosav? So Memshala, again, Malbim has pointed this out numerous times throughout his commentary, but it means that we are politically distinct, that we are naturally and politically not subjected to anyone else. We have sovereignty over our own being. So when we left Egypt, it wasn't just that it afforded us this opportunity to be Kodesh, to now to be sanctified and spiritually distinct. But now, we weren't subjected to anyone else. We were our own bosses, so to speak. The Gemara in Sota has a slightly different interpretation of this. The Gemara in Sota says, what is Yehuda doing here? And the Gemara tells us a fascinating story, right? So we think that Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the sea and that's the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of Kriyas Yamsuf. That is not the only story. Says the Gemara of Meir Omer, Kishamdu Yisrael Alayam, when the Jewish people were standing at the sea, Hayushvatim Minatzchim Zeim Ze, the nation started fight, each tribe started fighting with each other. Ze Omer Ani Yorei Tchil Alayam, Vze Omer Ani Yorei Tchil Alayam. Each one said, I want to be the first one to go into the sea. No, I want to be the first one to go into the sea. No, I want to go into the first one to go into the sea. What happened? So Kafat Shifto Shal Ben Yamin, V'yared Layam Tchila. So the tribe of Binyamin says, you know what, everyone wants to do it. Someone just got to get up and do it. So Binyamin jumps into the sea. Lefichach zacha Binyamin atzadik v'naseh ushbizchan legvura. It is for that that Binyamin merits receiving the Beis HaMikdash in his shevet, in his allotment. Right? That's a very different narrative than the one that you and I are used to. It's not that nobody wanted to go in, but rather everyone wanted to go in. And what made Binyamin unique and distinct was that he was finally the one who said, you know what, someone's got to do it. Then we have our second formulation of it. Amar of Yehuda, right? Rav Yehuda, defending his namesake, says, Lo kach haya maisa. That's not how it happened. Ela ze omer ani einani yorei tchila. Vize omer einani yorei tchila liyam. Each one said, I don't want to be the first one to go. No, you go. No, you go. So as opposed to the first version where everyone wanted to go, in the second version, no one wants to go. Finally, Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav v'yared liyam tchila. We know this. Finally, Nachshon says, you know what, you're all sitting around. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Ba'osa Shah says the Gemara, Hayah Moshe marech betvila. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, he's shlugging tilim. He's sitting there, he's davening. Hashem says, what are you davening for? So Amr lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedidai, Tovim Bayam, Ve'atam Marech Petfila. Right, the Jewish people are suffering. They're drowning in the sea. Nachshon, the water is up to here. And you're sitting there and you're davening. Right? Amr lefan of Ribono Shalolam. Uma biyadi lasos. He says, what do you want me to do? Hashem says, you got a staff in your hand. I want you to take your staff, go to the sea. And he's going to split the sea. Says the Gemara, Lefichach, Zaka, Yehuda, lasos, Memshala, b'Yisrael. That because Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, did something so audacious and courageous as going into the sea when no one else wanted to, they received Memshala, they receive the Malucha, they are going to be the rulers, so to speak, of the Jewish people. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Haita Yehuda Likadsho. Right? That's what it means, that Yehuda will be Kodesh, that Yehuda will be in a leadership position. Now, a different Medrash, again, this is a totally interesting dynamic, right? Rav Meir says, everyone wants to go. Finally, Binyamin jumps in. Rav Yehuda says, nobody wants to go. Finally, Nachshon ben Aminadav wants to go in. So the Medrash says, again, Medrash and Gemara oftentimes parallel each other. So the Medrash on our Pasuk says, Ra'a Hayam Yisrael Osim Milchama Zeim Zeh Al Kedushas Shemo. That the sea saw that the Jewish people were doing battle about sanctifying God's name. Amar Hayam Ma'ani Omein Miyat Ma'ani Omein. He's going to say, they're battling to split the sea. I'm just going to stand here. Miyad Barach. And therefore, immediately he gets up and the sea, is going to split. The Kedushas Levi on that measure says that what's the beauty of this here? The beauty of this here is that the Jewish people were willing to sanctify themselves for the sake of Hashem. Right? That Nachshon ben Aminadav was willing to risk his life for the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't know how it would end. He didn't know what the end would look like, and yet he was willing to do it. So that is Haitali Yehuda L'Kadsho. That is what allowed Yehuda to merit this level of sanctification. Because he was willing to sanctify God's name, so he becomes the conduit. He becomes Yehuda L'Kadsho. Okay, so that is Pasuk number 2. Again, and you notice the very balanced two sides. Haitali Yehuda L'Kadsho, Yisrael Mam Shalotav. Hayam Ra'av Ayanos, Hayarden Yisov L'Achor. Heharim Rakdu Chelim, Again, there's a poetic balance to each pasuk. Pasuk Gimel Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. When the sea saw all of what's going on, it starts running away. What's it running away from? So a beautiful comment again in the Medrash. I know we're doing a lot of Medrash here, but the Medrash says, Ma Ra'a, what did they see that caused them to split? Ra'a Arono Shel Yosef, Yored Liam. Remember, the Jewish people brought the Atzmos Yosef with them, the bones of Yosef with them, as they left Mitzrayim. So the sea sees the Aron of Yosef. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yanos Mibnei Hanes. I want you to run away as a result. Shenemar Vayanos Vayetze Hachutza. What merited the sea splitting? That word Vayanos, right? Vayar Hayam. I'm sorry, Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. Vayanos mibnei hachutza, Yosef, when he was being tempted by Ishes Potiphar, vayanas vayetze hachutza, he ran out. So says Hashem that in the merit of Yosef, who overcame that test, af hayam yiyanas mipanav, so too you, the sea, should run away. So ma ra'ah, says the Medrash, they saw the atzmos of Yosef, and that inspired them. That inspired them to run away. So Hayam Ra'a Vayanos, the nation sees all, the sea sees all this, Vayanos, and he runs away. Ha Yardain, Yisov Le'achor, in the Jordan River, splits as well, it too runs away. What is the Jordan River doing here? So you'll notice that the Mefarshim point out two different interpretations about the Jordan is running backwards. What is that talking about? So some Mefarshim explain, yeah, Shekol Meimei Breishis Nivku'u, then we have a Mesorah, that when the Yam Suf split, you know what else? Split all of the water in the world. But other Mefarshim say that no, that it's very simple, that we're talking about two different times in history, right? That not only are we talking about the moment of Kriyas Yam Suf, but we're also talking about later on in history when the Jordan River is going to split as well. I want to thank an anonymous sponsor for a very generous donation of $100. Again, www.brsonline.org/global. An opportunity for those who are not members of BRS to show their appreciation for all of our Torah. Pasuk Dalet, Heharim Rakdu Che'ilim Givaot Kivnei Tzon. Again, continuing with this theme of nature now, right, that the mountains are skipping like rams. Givaot Kivnei Tzon. The hills are running like sheep. Pasuk He, Malacha Hayam Kitanus. Hayardein Tisov Lachor, a rhetorical question. Right? Why are you running away, OC? Why, not AOC, why are you running away, OC? Why, you, the Jordan River, are you running backwards? Heharim tirkadu chaylim kva'o kivnei tzon. Right? Why, you mountains, are you skipping like rams, and hills, are you running like sheep? In other words, what are you so afraid of? What is causing you to have this experience? So says the Pasuk, again, another very generous $180 donation. And this one, not for our Tillim class, but different. This is for Behind the Bima, their weekly spiritual entertainment. Those who notice I'm a little tired this morning, it's because of Behind the Bima. You can blame Rabbi Goldberg. I was begging him to end the episode. He wouldn't do it. we kept on going, a marathon episode last night. So what is it that caused them to run away? Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz. Again, you'll notice it's the first time Hashem is mentioned in this chapter of Tehillim, but it's Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz, that it's in the presence of Adon. Adon here doesn't say God. It says Adon. Adon is, we'll have to translate that, Chuli Aretz. Meforshim explain that Chuli means that they are trembling. Milifnei Eloah Yaakov. They are running away from the God of Yaakov. Now, Radak points out here that what's Adon? So Adon is a terminology of God as the creator, right? Adon Olam, he's the master of the universe. In other words, he controls and creates everything. Says the Radak, Eloka Yaakov, the God of Yaakov, Shekana Oso mi beis avadim bekocho, that God acquired us, right? Think about what we say in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, right? Kone HaKol, that God acquired us as servants because of creation. That when we look at creation around us, so that is how God acquires, so to speak, his servants. We are so enamored and inspired by creation. Kihu Adon al Hakol, because God is the Adon over everything. Thank you so much, Chaim and Phyllis Reese. Appreciate it immensely. An appreciation of an amazing, talented Ra'ah, blah, 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 who inspires and motivates so many people. It's a team effort. It's BRS. It's what makes us so special, right? There's Disney in the entertainment world, and there's BRS in the Torah world. That's what we aspire to be. Happy, joyous, simchadik-filled Torah, right? Kihu Adon HaKol, says the Radak, that he is the master of everything. He is the creator of everything. Va'ose kirtono, and God could do whatever he wants. And if he wants his children to go through the sea, right? In other words, nature is subservient to Hashem. Lest we think that nature is in control, lest we think that we worship nature, that is not the case. Rather, Hashem controls nature, right? And therefore, the pasuk of, right? Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz. Because ultimately, we think nature controls the world. You think that the sun rose this morning and the sun's going to set tonight because of nature? No, the sun rises and the sun sets for one reason and one reason only. And that is because of Hashem. Because that's Hashem's will. Think back all the way to chapter 19 of Tehillim. We say it every single Shabbos morning. To this day, one of my favorite chapters of Tehillim. But what do we say? Hashamayim misaprim kvod kel. Umaase yadav makid harakia. Right, that the nations proclaim God's glory. They proclaim his handiwork. What does that mean? It means that when we watch nature, when we observe what we think are natural occurrences, really it's just a reminder of the magnificent, the infinite nature of God's creation. Right? Nature reminds us about God. And so that's what this pasuk here is talking about here. Right? Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz, says Radak, is it's a reminder of who ultimately is in control. Right? Milifnei Eloka Yaakov. Now, what is a representation of this? How do we know that God is in control? So here we come to the final pasuk of this chapter, which again is not one that, to be honest, I fully appreciated before studying this chapter of Tehillim, but once you read it carefully, you'll have an amazing appreciation of it. What makes God the Adon, right? Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz, says the pasuk, Hahochi Hatzur Agamayim Chalamish L'maynomayim. What does God do? Hahochi Hatzur Agamayim. He turns a rock is dry, but he turns that rock into a pool of water. Chalamish, again, a rock, l'mayno mayim, is now giving forth fountains of water. Says the Radak, this is an unbelievable pasuk. He says, k'mo sheyesh lo koach, lahafoch halach yavesh, shesham hayam l'charava, just as God can overturn a rock into giving forth water, Kain hofecha tzura yavesh lach visham oso la'agam. Right, God has the ability to overturn nature. In things which you think are like a rock, which can never in a million years give forth water, no. God can do that as well. Why? Ki hu Adon. Because he is the Adon. Ubore hakol. And he creates everything. Right? Velo yishanu mitzvaso. V'chein ha'ar afal pishu ha'kaved. V'ha'kavua shenivraim. Kishiratze yashuv kal. V'yanua mehira. Right? When God wants to dictate how nature is going to work, God is able to overturn nature. Right? The mountains, which you think are so set in their way. The oceans, which you think can never split. The rocks, which you think can never give forth water. Says the pasuk, no. Not so fast. Rather, Hashem can do anything he wants. Hashem can always reverse things. The Mefarshim point out that this is the flip side, or the perfect complement to the very first pasuk. The very first pasuk was, right, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Hashem was able to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Beis Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez, it doesn't make sense. A people who were subsumed in Egyptian culture for 200 plus years, and they still were able to maintain their distinctiveness. It's unheard of in history. It's unheard of in history. Historically, when a people were subsumed, when a people were assimilated into another culture, they lost their distinctiveness altogether. Right? That's the way history has gone. Judaism makes no sense. It makes no sense that you and I are here with our kippahs and with our Jewish distinctiveness. It makes no sense. What allowed that to happen? So now we have the end of the chapter. Where the end of the chapter is, remember, who's our boss? Who do we answer to? That because we answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem can do anything. Hashem can overturn nature. He can make rocks give forth water. He can make oceans split. He can reveal himself to mankind. He can do incredible things. And because God is Adon HaKol, because Hashem is the creator of everything, that's what allows us Jews to survive with our distinctiveness all the years later. You're right. Judaism doesn't make sense. It is illogical, and our survival is completely irrational. And yet, it is just another testament to God's greatness. That if God can allow us to maintain that distinctiveness, even me'am lo'ez, even when we're in a nation of people that are so often different from us and antithetical to our values, really great. Thank you so much, Anonymous. A donation in honor of Mishpacha, Rabbi Moskowitz, Rabbi Goldberg, Rabbi Brody, Behind the Bima classes. Thank you so much. Right? But a God who is able to do that is the same God that can create water out of rocks. It's the same God who can allow the who can dictate that the ocean is going to split itself. And so what's chapter 114 about? Hashem, chapter 114 is again about an appreciation. It's about Hashem's intervention into creation. It's about Hashem's intervention into creation, into nature, right? Whether it's the splitting of the sea, whether it's allowing rocks to give forth water, but it's also a representation of Hashem as our defender. Throughout our history, Jewish history makes no sense, and yet here we are all these years later. And so what started off last week's chapter, which was a very beautiful chapter of Hashem's relationship to us on an individual level, right? Hamashpili l'ros b'shamayim, that God came down and was able to look at every single one of us. This chapter is a little bit different. Here we come, and this is why it's called Halel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Halel, because it now refers to Hashem's relationship with us through history, Hashem's relationship with us through our historical evolution as a people, leaving Mitzrayim, ultimately coming to the Yam Suf, coming to Har Sinai, and again, we'll continue that in future chapters as well. So again, I want to thank everyone for joining us this morning. For those who are inclined, non-BRS members, to show that appreciation, to continue to show that gratitude, www.brsonline.org/global. We thank all those who have participated. We thank those who will participate going forward. And again, I look forward to learning together next week as we continue our study of Tehillim. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful day.